Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Charlene Summers.
Fabulous. Are we all doing well today?
Yes.
Good stuff. I need you to smile at me. Beautiful. Much better. Lovely stuff. Cool. So, we're going to be starting. Today's message is, just like Pastor Jim was saying, it's Am I Connecting with Others? Now, this is our fourth session, final session in our series, Health Check. Four questions as a spiritual gauge, which is really cool, or a health check spiritual gauge. So we've looked at so far, am I undercover? Steve P brought that, epic. Am I tithing? Fun. Am I praying and reading, which was last week? And then today we're looking at, am I connecting? We're talking about connecting with people inside our church specifically, and we might hit a little bit with people outside our church as well. So I'm going to start with a wee bit of history, which is always fun. Fabulous. Now, way back when the church started, the Bible, the word for church was actually this word, ecclesia, which is a great word. It's a Greek word, very cool word. And it meant a gathering, or a gathering of people with a specific identity and purpose, which is actually quite a cool little meaning going on there, especially when you think about our context, our church, and gathering together. It wasn't just about church gatherings. It was any gathering. So, for example, getting your military together, or your army people together to go and serve in a different country, to get together as the military base, that is also an ecclesia. So gathering people with a specific identity and a specific purpose. Okay, you kind of getting that? Grabbing it a little bit? Lovely. So what happened was, the church, when they first started out, the early church, they would gather together, and that would be an ecclesia. They were called an ecclesia because they had a specific identity, specific purpose. Obviously, their identity was they were Christians. Mm-hmm. They believed in God. They had that common purpose of living the life that Jesus had called them to live, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Good stuff, good stuff. You're following me. That's awesome. The problemo came along when the Romans started getting saved. Now, that sounds awful. I don't mean it like it sounds. But what happened was, they had their own sort of traditions, their own ways of doing things, of worshipping their gods or their idols. And so when they started to do the whole gathering thing, they started bringing in, like, your bells, your whistles, your fancy clothing, like decor and stuff, and incense, smelly hoo-ha, whatever was going on. The Romans started bringing all that stuff in because they were excited they were saved, but they had that kind of old-school thinking, and they just applied what they knew to faith, which you can kind of appreciate that, you know, everyone's got their own sort of like way of doing things. So there's a little bit of like understanding there. However, what happened was they did that so much that it started to kind of change the way church did church, or people gathered together. And there was even what happened was where martyrs were, where people had given their life for God, the Christians, they would gather there and they would have communion sometimes together, which I think is really cool, really special. But the Romans were like, they were getting excited about that. They were getting saved and they were like, that's pretty cool. What we're going to do now is we're going to build a building there. And even if they were, their bodies or their bones were buried somewhere that wasn't sort of accessible, maybe on a back road or something, they would exhume the bones, bring them somewhere else, and then build a church around it. So they had all the fancy stuff going on, pretty buildings, a place to worship God. So what happened was the meaning of church, or that gathering, started to change. It became more about the location than the gathering of people. Okay? It had become a location. So we're going to start our talk today, or a message, and we're going to base it around what that original purpose or design for church was supposed to be about, gathering together as people with a specific identity and a specific purpose. Cool beans. Fabulous. So what we're going to start off with first, I'm going to go through a few different points, and first we're going to look at why. Why should I gather with my church peeps? Why? It's a good question. We're going to look at some scripture first off, because I thought I'd start with some Bible stuff, because, you know, it's quite clear in there. So, Genesis 2, verse 18, it says this: "The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Just to state, that's not just about, like, a marriage relationship. Yeah. It's not just about a lady for a man for a lady. No, no, no. That is about people. It is not good for people to be alone. Men, women, children, teenagers, older dudes, older ladies, they should not be on their own. Okay, we're supposed to, we have got this like innate desire, thing, hunger within us where we want to be with other people. Yeah. It's just part of who we are. Yeah. It's that same thing that makes us tick toward God because we're supposed to have a relationship with God. That was what we were designed for. Yeah. We were designed for a relationship with God and for a relationship with people. Okay?
Yeah.
Secondly, Jesus had friends.
Right.
I thought that was a pretty good example, to be fair. I was like, well, you know, if like God, our Savior, our King, the one that we profess as Lord over our lives, did the whole thing with having friends, then, you know, we should probably follow that example. Yeah. We follow Jesus' example in every other area of our lives. Why not with relationships and friendships?
Good.
So you had 12 disciples, as you guys know. 12 people had access to him. He was really, really close to them. And he even had 3 that he was super duper close to. We'll get onto that in a little bit. Cool, cool, cool. Next scripture, Acts 2, verse 42 to 46. I have no idea what version this is. I just copied one from Google. I was looking at the different versions, and this one was the one that kind of like ticked my box. So it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I underline that last line, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. When we get together as church, we make good friendships, good relationships, we build on that. People start to get added to that number. It's not just when signs and wonders happen. It's not just when we teach good teaching and we have good preachers. Actually, part of that scripture, part of that addition, that multiplication that God wants for our church is that actually we get together, we hang out, we enjoy spending time together, we build great friendships, have fun together, enjoy life, and our numbers will get added to. And I think that's really cool. Fabulous. So, I've written down PT. Personal testimony time. Very exciting. Anytime I do notes for anything, youth stuff, anything like that, I always put PT for personal testimony, mainly because I can't bother to write personal testimony in my notes. It's just too much of a faff. PT makes sense. Holy Spirit is HS. I don't know if that's super unspiritual, but it just happens. Confession time. That wasn't the PT. Right. So, about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I have spoken to the various people I'm going to talk about, so they should be aware. And they said they were okay with it. Promise, they were nodding. Me and Matt, we'd got married, we were newlyweds, and we'd gone through some tough stuff, some challenges, as most married people do. People are nodding-ish. Cool. Or it's just us. And we were going through a lot of stuff, a lot of challenges, and we decided, instead of going to people, instead of reaching out to people, we did the hermit thing. We hermitized ourselves, if that's a word. We withdrew from people, we withdrew from friends, withdrew from church as much as physically possible as we could, and we just didn't want anything to do with anyone. Some of you know this, if you don't, news to you. We used to live in the rooms up there. They were a flat rather than the kids' rooms and the youth rooms. And we used to live up there, and that was when this building was being renovated. So there was a lot of people around all the time, and we were in such a great place with God that we used to avoid people as much as physically possible, and you'll chuckle at this. We used to open the door, listen if we could hear anyone like on the stairs, run down the stairs, out the door, quickly shut the door, and then those windows at the back there, we used to duck underneath them and run so that church people couldn't see us because we didn't want to speak to anyone. We had no desire to speak to anyone. Yes, I know that's wrong. Fully aware of that. But that's the reality. That's what we did. And we would run to the bus stop and travel into town or go wherever. And like every weekend, if we could, we'd get away from here because we didn't want to see you guys, which is really nice. Feel the love. Feel the love. Anyways, a little bit after this, when I was starting, we were in a slightly better place, I was really, really lonely because totally cut myself off from everyone. And I was saying to God, I was like, God, what are you doing about this? Seriously, like, what is going on here? And God, as clear as anything, he said to me, he's like, what are you doing about it? And I was like, no. God, what are you doing about it? I need some guidance. I need like a sign or whatever, you know, flashing lights in the sky would be awesome. God's like, what are you doing about it? And I was like, no, I don't want to do anything about it. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So I'm just going to leave it there. With a cliffhanger. Suspense. Fabulous. Now, the next bit we're going to be looking at is how. The how. Because there's no good me telling you the good stuff about it, the benefits, why you should do it, if I'm not going to give you some kind of practical hows. Fabulous. So again, Acts 2:42, loving this. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. What this says to me, the first church were intentional about spending time together. If we're looking purely at the fellowship bit today, I'm not ignoring the other bits, they're just as important, but today we're looking at the fellowship bit, building good friendships. Yeah. They devoted themselves to friendships, to relationships, to fellowship. Whatever word you want to use, whatever rocks your boat, use that word. They chose, they made a choice to devote themselves. It was their choice. For me and you, it's my choice, it's your choice. I can't force anyone to be friends with me. Lisa might kind of go, yeah, sure. It was intentional. There was a choice. Cool. But they chose. They made that choice. The first church was intentional about fellowship, and they chose to devote themselves to friendship. We too have to be intentional about getting out there and building friendships. So maybe you're having a think today and you're thinking, I'm not saying like everyone's like not fellowshipping, being friends, whatever. But maybe you're thinking, you're sat there thinking today, okay, well, I've decided I want to be intentional about this. I'm going to make that choice to be intentional about building good relationships with my people in the church. But what do you do then? Now what? One of the best things that me and Matt have found is inviting people around into our home, food. Food is awesome. Everybody loves food. And or if you don't like to do that, people in your home, fair dues, everyone's different, go out. It's an easy escape. If it goes wrong, you can just drive home, okay? Also with food, it's really, really good, especially when you first start inviting people around to your house, you've not maybe spent that much time with them or you don't know them that well. Food is great because you've got something to shut you up, something to kind of focus on if it's really awkward. It's awesome, honestly. The amount of times it's just like, I'm going to focus so hard on this chocolate brownie. It's just, yeah, because I don't want to talk because I'm feeling a little bit awkward, a little bit vulnerable. So food, invite people around to your house, invite them out for food, invite them out for coffee. Whatever it is that you guys enjoy, do that. Next bit, do your research. This is a bit random. It's really, really practical and ridiculously simple, but do your research. There is nothing worse than going to someone's house and they're serving you something that you don't like to eat. I know that somewhere in the scriptures it says that, you know, eat whatever's put before you, but realistically, if you're getting new people around and you want them to stay your friends and you put something gross in front of them, I mean, like, if someone puts salmon and mushrooms in front of me, I might pick at it. But I probably won't come back to your house again. Bit of a silly thing. It's true. It's all, I mean, you know, don't get too caught up on it. It's very much so trial and error thing. More than once I've tried to feed pregnant women cream cheese without realising, because I just didn't know. You're not supposed to have that. I didn't know. I've also fed many, many people stuff that they really genuinely don't enjoy, and they're kind of like sitting there eating and going, yum. I can feel this already coming back on me. Trial and error, but it's fine. Don't worry about it. On the sort of getting to know people front, the first few times me and Matt had Jamie and Lisa around were really, really awkward. There was so much awkward silences. We didn't know what to say. I think I said about 10 things that were super offensive because I just panicked and just got really nervous and was just like, shblah, shblah. And it's like, thanks. but it's fine. Stick at it, stay the course. Don't just give up because it's awkward for one time or a couple of times or a few times even. Getting to know people, building relationships, it just happens. It's not like when you have a boyfriend or girlfriend kind of moment, you know, you're a little bit more googly-eyed. And when me and Matt started dating, I'm sure we said loads of offensive stuff to each other. There was plenty of awkward silences and all that, but we fancied each other, so it was a little bit easier to skim over. So when you're building friendships, you don't have that same kind of like, I fancy you, so I don't really care what you say. It's just, got to stick with it. So, who do you start with? Where do you start? I was checking out 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25 through 26 in the Message version, which is epic. And it says this: the way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in that hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. Super simple. Think of us as a body, literally. Physical body. Who are you going to hang out with? Just have a think about it. This is ridiculously practical and a little bit random. But if you're a hand, you're probably going to get on with another hand. I mean, you know, practical. You probably have a bit of a connection with an arm. You might get on well with a shoulder. Don't know. If you're a foot, leg's going to be a good bet. Another foot, potentially. I know this is a bit random, but the people that have the same interests, the same goals, the same stuff that they enjoy doing, they're going to be the people that you're just going to get on with.
Yeah.
It is a bit random, but, you know, if someone's into fishing, I'm sorry, but it just doesn't tick my boxes. You can talk about it all the time, it's just not going to do it, you know. Bless him, Josh is big into Pokemon. We're never going to connect on a Pokemon level. I don't get it, I think it's weird and random. At the same time, I like owls, you know. He's not that big, but we have other common interests. Heroes, Avengers, that kind of stuff. We have a bit of clicking and that. Just as a silly example, but you know, you get what I mean. Bit of a silly one as well, because I was having a bit of a chuckle about this the other day. I was thinking, if you're a foot and you're hanging out with the other foot, yeah? You can see what I'm saying here. You might trip over that foot. You might offend each other sometimes. You might sharpen each other a wee bit. Yeah. Anyone that hangs out with me and has a privilege of being my friend. Knows that I can be a bit of a butthead sometimes. I have my moments. I just annoy people, offend people without really thinking about what I'm saying, and then think that it's completely fine to do that. Thankfully, I've not got nodding. Got a few people smiling at me. I'm not sure. James. That's different. You're my brother. Cool. Everyone's different.
Yep.
And you're going to connect with the people that you have a common interest with. You just will. And don't worry if it's something really random. That's fine. Jesus knows. Next bit. Don't give up. Building friendships takes time. It was quite a while before we were comfortable enough to hang out with Jamie and Lisa without it feeling awkward. It just was. Because that's just how it is, building new friendships, getting to know people. It took time. But you've got to give it a fair chance. Mm. You can't just be like, well, I hung out with you once, and it wasn't great, and it wasn't like, wow, this is the best day ever, and therefore that's it, we're not going to be friends now. That's just not happening. You've got to give it a fair chance. You just have to. Yeah. Me and Matt have had many friendships and things, and it doesn't always work out, doesn't always take off. We've given it a fair chance, and that's okay. One of the things you need to know is that you're not going to be best friends with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of need to release yourself from that. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when you go to churches, we assume that we have to be best friends with absolutely everyone. Mm-hmm. And I hope no one's up thinking like, oh my goodness, you're such a horrible person. But it's true. Stood up here going, no, I'm not going to be your best friend. It's not how it is. You can't. Jesus had a lot of followers that he was kind of like acquaintances with, maybe. He had 70-odd disciples. 12 of them actually got to have full-on access to him a lot of the time. And then three of them, maybe you would consider them like his best friends. That's just how it is. Jesus did relationships like that. That's okay. A bit of a weird one. Jesus doesn't have a connection with everyone. That's ridiculous. You know what I mean? But just in this particular context, hear what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And it's okay to not connect with everyone. Give it a try. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Move on to someone else. That's fine. Next bit. What's in it for me? One of the benefits for me? Which sounds a little bit selfish, but realistically, whenever you hear a preach, if it's good for you and there's going to be some benefits for you, you're going to do it. Be more likely to do it. Yeah? True? So if you go to the doctors and it's just like, well, you know, if you don't do this, then da-da-da-da, it might scare you into it a little bit, but realistically, if the doctor says, here's the benefits of doing this, that, and the other, then you go, fair dues, fair play, I'll do that then. Or you're more likely to, I don't know, maybe other people work differently, but for me, if the doctor says it's going to do me good, then I'll probably do it. If he tells me that my leg's going to fall off, then okay, I may well do it, but you know what I mean. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 through 12 says this, and I totally was a little bit naughty with this. I took the title from one version and the scripture from another because I liked it. So the title was The Value of a Friend, which I loved, thought was epic. It wasn't the same in the version. The version I liked was this, NLT. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. There's a few benefits right there. So good. I love that bit where it says, person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer.
Yeah.
Life has a tendency to try and hack you apart. It just does. All the time. There's constantly challenges, constantly stuff that you're going through. And if you're going through it alone, like me and Matt attempted to do, it just hacks you apart. We went into such a bad place. We were so far away from God, so far away from the people of God and everything, and it was awful. I think I was probably depressed at that point, genuinely. And that's not a good place to be in.
No.
Whereas now that we've made that choice, we've been intentional about making good relationships, building good friendships and investing in those friendships, it's not like life doesn't still try and hack me apart. I still have challenges, I still go through stuff that's awful and really, really tests me and shakes me big time. But when you've got friends, true friends, friends that are godly as well, they can hold you up in those times. They will keep you going when times are tough.
Sure.
They will give you a kick up the bum when you need a kick up the bum. Very often for me. You know, you're open with one another. And it takes a certain level of trust and vulnerability to do that. It's not easy to open up your life. I personally am quite an open person. I genuinely share way too much with people, and I think, probably shouldn't have actually said that, or that, or that, or that. And I don't always think about what I'm sharing with people and how that might actually make them feel uncomfortable to know that particular information about me. It's just who I am. So for me, it's quite an easy thing to be vulnerable with people, to trust them and to just kind of give them my life story in 10 minutes. But I know that for others, it's not necessarily easy. I know there are people that it's very, very difficult because you've been hurt and you've been pained by life, that to open up to someone and to trust them enough to hold your secrets, hold your hopes, hold your fears is a big deal.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that it's not necessarily going to be like, oh, today I've made that choice and now everything's going to be different.
Yeah.
That's fine. But if you give God something to work with, I promise you he will work wonders. He totally did that with me and Matt, and it's amazing. Cool stuff. And it brings a great, great joy having friends.
Yeah.
Good friends.
Yeah.
A friendship leads to love. And I'm not talking about like, you know, when you're dating someone and you're friends and then you get together, you fall in love. That's awesome. But friendship, true friendship, leads to genuine love and genuine care for those people, for their families, for their children. It just does. It genuinely does, and it's awesome. Bit of PT again. A couple months ago, we went through some really tough stuff as a family. It was awful. Very, very challenging. We lost someone that we loved, and it was awful. It was traumatic and horrible. At the same time, me and Matt got the keys to our house, which was amazing, very cool. And we were renovating a house and redecorating a house whilst dealing with the loss of a family member. And because of all that and all the stress, I suppose, I got a kidney infection as well. So it's all a little bit like, you know, when you feel like this is a bit too much, God. And God's like, I know, it's okay, I'm here. We wouldn't have got through that probably, or I don't think I would have done, because I was in a really, really bad place. It was just very difficult for me if I didn't have my friends. That's friends at my workplace, Pastor Shane, Josh, who dealt with me blubbering about every 10 minutes, and just being there for me, encouraging me, strengthening me, giving, like, talking to me from their own life experiences and being a great encouragement. Of course, my husband and my family, of course, I don't want to, like, leave those out. But friends as well. Jamie and Lisa were amazing at that point. They did so much with the house. Michelle, oh my goodness, she did like half the house for us. And just people like that, that would give of themselves, that would allow me to just cry and weep, laugh when I was having a good moment, freak out when I was having a not so good moment, hug me when I was really, really poorly and just like defeated. Friendships help.
Mm-hmm.
With life.
Yeah.
Friendships get you through. Friendships help you. Of course, I'm not belittling God in any way, shape, or form. God is always there for you. God will always get you through. But he brings these people into your life. Gives you the opportunity to be good friends with them, to build great relationships so that you can encourage one another, you can keep each other going, you can inspire one another, you can challenge one another. That's what friendship is.
Yes.
Cool. So just a reminder of that original question, you ask it to yourself, am I connecting?